Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. It's my pleasure, and I know it's like a dream come true for you because you tell me that all the time. And, of course, if you've been listening already, we think you're pretty smart. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We got Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB, and a professor, an outstanding longtime professor at Temple University, former head of the entire business school, and our good friend Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure. It's good to have you for us.
and Bill, and by the way, folks, as you know, Bill polls small business owners, hundreds of them every month, and has been doing so now for many, many years, to find out what's going on in the marketplace out there. And the report we're talking about now is the one that you took in August. And what did they tell you, Bill?
Well, August was, kind of a downer. We saw 8 of the 10 index components slip. We saw the index go to a pretty low level, around 96, which is quite a bit below the base period, which is 100 for 1986. And it really kind of continued the slide we've seen since April, really. It's just been going down a little bit with a bump up now and then. So it really said to us the economy's slowing. The real shocking part of it was that the other two components, there are 10 components, 8 went down. The two that stayed at near record levels were the percent of firms with a job opening that they can't fill and the percent of firms planning to create new jobs. So even though they thought the economy was going to slow, they still have this shortage of workers that they need, even with a slower pace.
Well, they're not just looking for bodies either, are they, Bill? They're
looking
they're looking for the right bodies. We're not looking for people to to fog a mirror. We're looking for the right. I think we probably got folks we can hire to fog a mirror. The right people are the challenge.
Exactly. And an economist friend of mine who took a drive from the East Coast to the West to meet with some of the heads of some really big companies out in Michigan, pointed out, he said, they're talking to a lot of little manufacturers along the way, because he met with a lot of people, that one of the big problems is that young people can't pass the drug test.
Oh, no.
Not good, huh?
No, that's not good. Is that becoming...
That's one of the requirements.
He heard that a lot?
Yeah. Hmm. Not good, huh?
No.
So he said, I can teach them the math they need, but they have to pass a drug test.
Yeah. What are we going to do about that?
Well, we've been talking to ourselves about that for decades now, and the war on drugs, is I don't know what the state
is. Are we winning the war on drugs at all? Are we making any progress, or are we losing?
I think we're probably making some progress. But the most recent stats we've seen suggest that we have made progress, but there's still,
another thing, and this is on the blue collar end of the scale. A lot of small companies out there need people to drive trucks and vehicles,
right?
And a lot of times they have trouble finding people to work to that they can hire who actually have a valid driver's license.
Exactly.
Because of drunk, being arrested or fined or whatever, charged with drunk driving, those kinds of things, they find actually have their driver's license. It's kind of a tip off when somebody pulls up to your business to apply for a job and somebody else drove them.
Yeah, that's right. That is a tip off.
Yeah. So
we're still looking for labor, and it looks like that's going to continue. So that means even though the economy is slowing, and I think the evidence is pretty clear that it is slowing, not dramatically, but slowing, the labor market's going to stay tight.
Well, and that's going to be I think we need to just take a deep breath and settle down for a second here, Bill, and look at the generational wave models that you and I've seen before that we've talked about on this show before. What you are describing right now is not going to be solved in the next 6 months or year, even 6 years. This is a generation problem, isn't it?
It is. It seems to be anyway. We hope that the younger generation coming up. My youngest son just started college this year, and I'm waiting to hear what he's telling me about what the college students are like. What's mm-hmm. going on there. Hopefully, he'll tell me.
Well, think about the issues that have been on the hot the front burner all these years that you've been doing this report. Well, there's the break, folks. We're going to take a quick when we come back. That's what I want Bill to do. Let's talk about how things have morphed. Started out with inflation, and it became other things, and we'll get back to what it is now. And we're going to talk about some more economic conditions with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg after these messages. It's 20 till the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Bill Dunkelberg is with us, Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. Bill, as we were talking before the break, when you first started doing this survey decades ago, the big concern for your respondents was inflation.
Absolutely. It was terrible back in the 70s. That's when we started.
And part of the early 80s. And then other things have replaced it since then. 5 or 6 years ago, it was health care. And today, it's not capitalization. It's not customers. It's not global competitors. Today, it's what we were talking about a minute ago. The biggest, number one concern of every group that I've ever spoken to is finding enough of the right people.
Exactly. And that continues to be a problem in our survey. It seems like every month now for the last 6 months, the percentage of our owners who said finding qualified workers is the most important business problem they face. Not energy costs, not taxes, not health care insurance, but finding qualified workers. And that just keeps rising. In the most recent survey, it rose again. And I think it will keep rising all year.
Bill, do you think it's because the labor pool quality has diminished, or do you think that the demands of a job in a small business have increased?
Well, I think both of those things are true. And I've been teaching for 30 years, and I have to tell you, the kids that I have today cannot do math or write a good English sentence anywhere as well as the kids could 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Why do you think that is?
Well, obviously
our education system failed them?
Yeah, K-12 is failing them, and behind that, of course, parents are failing them. I think parents have failed children. I hope the baby boom parents are the worst parents we've ever had, because it's got to get better from here.
What do we do about that?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Are you saying this is an epidemic?
To fix parents, we can try to help in the school to mitigate, and undo some of the damage done by bad parenting, both at the high income level and the low income level.
Yep.
We can try to mitigate that, but people have to kind of, rejigger their moral compasses and figure out what's really important in life, and it's not getting stuff. It's having a good family and raising children.
And holding people responsible and accountable for their behavior. Isn't that the bottom line?
Exactly. And, the kids up here in my neighborhood, they, as soon as something goes wrong, the parents get a lawyer.
Yeah.
To defend
them. Oh, yeah,
the school.
Absolutely.
Things have changed there.
Well, and holding everybody accountable, everybody can't win. We live in a competitive world. And we're not doing our children any favors when we don't allow them to compete at a younger age, do we?
That's right.
Yeah.
This whole idea that you can't take your brightest kids and put them in a class they can move, where they can move faster because it might hurt somebody's feelings. Bad idea.
Yep, that's exactly right.
First of all, it's lying to all the other children. When
that's
they
right.
get out into the world, they're still going to be competing against the best and the brightest, and they're going to excel. So we've just harmed ourselves by not training our best as much as we can, you know, allegedly helping out other people to feel good. But it handicaps them all.
And
it handicaps the nation.
The greatest enemy of the success of our culture and our society and our economy, Bill, is political correctness.
That's right. It's terrible right now. It's very expensive for us.
That's exactly right. And it's expensive on so many levels and in ways almost incalculable, I should say. Bill, what are some of the other things that you learned in the last survey?
Well, another thing that is interesting, and it's good news for the Fed, is that slowly but surely the percentage of owners that tell us they're raising their average selling prices is going down. So it was a peak of 26 in April, 26%. That's net of those who are cutting prices. So one out of four of our owners was raising their average selling price. So now we're down around 20, and it just is creeping down, and that's, of course, what the Fed is hoping for, that we'll slowly kind of let the air out of the balloon, so to speak, and that we can do that without really hurting the economy by raising interest rates a couple of points more.
I think that the reason why all that happened, see, as you know, Bill, I was glad the small business owners had some pricing power, because I knew about the pent up need to recover some of the lost opportunity of 01 and 02 and 03. I was glad to see that. I knew it was going to create an inflationary situation. But do you think the Fed thinks about it like that? Do you think they say, you know what, this is a reaction to being held down for so long? If they're going to raise the prices as long as they can, then the marketplace will will settle things down again. Do you think they looked at it like that?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what they look like. There are 19 people up there making monetary policy, and I'm not sure what exactly, you know, they do pay attention to. But yeah, I think their scenario, you know, really is one that says this is following a typical business cycle pattern. Early in the expansion, that would be 03, 04, 05.
Right.
You know, demand really picks up, and when you got lots of demand, lots of customers, people raise prices. Profits always rise in the cycle, so we now have profits at a record 12.2% of GDP. And then the labor market tightens, and that's what our data show. And then wages start rising faster, and labor gets more, and profits get a little less. And that's the way you go through an expansion. And I think they're looking at that and saying, yep, and you know, so we're going to count on that to really moderate prices so that we don't have to choke the economy and risk, you know, overdoing it.
Aren't we starting to see, though, the benefits of you know, the economy, the inflation seems to be easing some. I think the interest rate situation is improving. When we come back, there's another thing that's going on since, actually, the last report that Bill released. I want him to comment on. You know what that is. We're going to talk about that right after these messages. And I'm going to ask Bill what he thinks we have to look forward to in a 2007 economy. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. William Dunkelberg. And Bill, your reports, I know, are available at nfib.com, also on my homepage, but there's another website, too.
Right. Small Biz with a B-U-S, smallbiz.org.
All right. So check that out, folks. You
can get the reports and the charts. They're interesting to look at.
Every month, there's a new one posted on those three websites, so check them out when you get a chance. Bill, something else happened in the month of September after this report was being compiled that's making a few changes, and we'll talk more about it when we do the next report. But give us a little taste about what you think oil prices are doing to the economy.
Well, oil prices are falling, and that's very nice, and that means gas prices are falling. We've seen over a 50-cent decline in the price of a gallon of gas over the past few months. Just to put it in perspective, you know, we burn over 200 million gallons of gasoline a day. Now, that sounds like a lot, but that's really only about 2 gallons per worker. Excuse me, not very much. But 200 million times 50 cents is $100 million extra dollars in the pockets of consumers every day. That's a lot
break.
Of money.
It's a tax rebate.
A lot of money.
Isn't it?
Pardon?
Tax rebate.
It's like a big tax cut, you know. I mean, we're not sending tribute to the owners of oil now. You know, we're keeping the money ourselves and spending it here in the economy, and that's obviously a plus factor for the Fed, which is hoping to engineer whatever, a so-called soft landing, that is a slowing of the economy that doesn't include a recession in it.
And there is no other commodity that's as much of that's an example of the oxygen of the marketplace than gasoline and petroleum is there.
Yeah, that's important.
And so when it goes down, there's a dividend, an inflation dividend, and a cash flow dividend that just ripples through the economy, doesn't it?
That's right. And of course, there's a great psychological kicker as well, which is really good. I mean, it makes consumers feel better. They just hate rising gas prices, even though they pay far more per gallon, you know, for the water that they take in the house, and you know, when they buy all this bottled water. There's a psychological thing that goes along with this.
Well, exactly. Now, what do you think this is going to? Let's look into 2007. What do you think this means for 2007?
Well, 2007 looks like it's going to be a fine year. We don't expect it to be as strong as the as this year was, especially in the first half, because we're missing some important drivers like the housing market. I mean, this is going to be a nice housing year with 1.6 million starts, but it's lower than 2005 and it's lower than 2004 and.
But isn't that good solid growth that we ought to be, you know, we can click along with this kind of reasonable growth every year. I mean, that's healthy, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. That's right. That's what I said. It's just not going to be as strong as we're seeing. So that's a downer, if you will. That'll slow GDP growth because we won't build as many houses. We have a little extra, you know, overhang to take care of. And other than that, you know, government spending is going to be strong. Consumers still could start saving. The savings rate's negative, and that would take a lot of spending out of the stores immediately, and the money would show up in a bank. And then it takes a while for the bank to turn that into investment spending for small businesses and large businesses, and that, you know, that could slow the economy a little bit as well. But it looks like business investment will be nice next year as well. So overall, it looks good.
Other than finding the right good people, what's the next thing that small businesses are the most antsy about?
Well, they're still complaining about the cost and availability of insurance, and that would be primarily health care insurance now, because we've swallowed we've gulped now and taken care of the price hikes due to the other terrorist attacks, such as the weather terrorists.
Right.
So we've taken care of that. So health care costs remain a real issue. The healthcare costs rise much faster than inflation, and if I give you more there, I can't pay you more in cash. So people are complaining their cash wages aren't growing fast enough. And
are the capital markets doing a pretty good job of getting small businesses the capital they need?
As far as we can tell, you know, we haven't seen any real complaints on the part of our small businesses. Just maybe the slightest hint that things might be getting a little tighter. I know the Federal Reserve officially is complaining to the small banks that they're too friendly when they're making these real estate secured loans.
Will you tell them that I know you know a bunch of those guys. Tell them to stop saying that.
All right, I'll tell them.
Tell them I said that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A bank can't be too friendly with small businesses. Hey, Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
It's always a pleasure. See you next time.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, the NFIB. Put a .com on the end and you'll find their website. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, actually also for this day. And don't forget, as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.